Praise the Lord. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we're so grateful, Lord, for the privilege to be able to teach your mighty word. We thank you for your word and for the promises of God. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless the word as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to continue right where we left off yesterday in a healing service, and we're going to teach you what God's Word said. We'll continue about this magnificent story of how the valve worked in my granddaughter's throat. Praise our King.
I said, Lord, forgive me for not believing your Word. So, if I confess my sin, will He forgive me? Yes, guarantees it in 1 John 1:9. So, I go and I pray again. I said, Father, on behalf of Mark 11:24, I desire that the valve in my grandbaby's throat work perfect. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for fixing it. It's done. Right now, I believe I have received, and it's done. I walked across to her house and I said, Toby, that's her daddy. I said, God's waiting on you and me. He said, what do you mean? I said, the valve in Caitlin's throat. I said, it's fixed. Give her a bowl of applesauce and give her a bottle of juice. He said, Thurman, wait a minute now, wait a minute. We just come back 2 weeks ago from that doctor and it didn't work. I said, it didn't work 2 weeks ago. It didn't work this morning. Well, I said, it works right now. He said, how do you know? I said, because the Word says it does. The Word says it works. He said, Thurman, if I feed her, and that runs into her lungs and kills her like that doctor said. He said, we're in big trouble. I said, Toby, a doctor said she wasn't going to live day one, didn't they? He said, yes. I said, is she living? He says, yes. I said, the doctor says she had never breathed. I said, is she breathing? Yes. I said, the doctor said she would never see. Is she seeing? Yes. The doctor said she had never walk. I said, is she walking and running? Yes. I said, well, what is it you don't understand about the Word? I have come against everything the doctor said with the Word, and it's worked every time. So why don't you trust God this time? He said, Thurman. I said, no, no. You want that valve to work? You want to feed her with that tummy all of her life. He said, no, I don't want to feed her with that thing all of her life. I said, then feed her. So he gets a little bowl of applesauce and puts it out there, gives her a little bottle of juice and sets it down. I say, Caitlin, honey, come up here. Eat that bowl of applesauce and drink that little bottle of juice for granddaddy. She comes running up and sits down at the table. First time in 10 and a half months, she takes that little spoon and starts putting it in her mouth. And she eats every bite of it and drinks part of that bottle of juice, jumps down and runs and plays. We fed her normal every day for 6 weeks. And then we took her back to the doctor at 12 months. And he checked it. And he said, I don't believe this. He said, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. He said, that little valve is working perfect. He said, you can start feeding her now. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have that kind of faith? When you're put to the test like that, if that's your grandbaby and you only got one, and the daughter that brought her into the world is already going home to be with Jesus, and she's the only little grandbaby I'm ever going to have from that girl, how many of you are going to have faith to put the Word of God to the test like that? I mean, it said it, didn't it? If it says it, if you believe it like it's written, what is God obligated to do to fulfill it? Can He lie? No. The devil knows that our flesh is weak. And that's where he gets us. When he puts pain or sickness upon you, and you agree with that pain, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry, you got terminal cancer, and you got 30 days to live. You know what most Christians do? Fall apart. And the doctor said, if we don't do surgery, immediately you're going to be dead. Man, they say, let's do the surgery. Then when they get the surgery done, then if they get well enough to get back, they might accidentally call somebody to pray. And when people pray, in the average church today, there is no one that prays in faith. Just like that little gal sitting right there. 100 people prayed for her over the years, and nothing had happened. She didn't believe, and they didn't believe. And she and I prayed one simple little prayer, and she got healed. Does God honor unbelief? No, He does not. Does He honor belief? Yes, He does. So today, my little granddaughter, 6 years old, eating everything she wants to, running and playing by the Word of God. It's awesome, isn't it? You see where I'm coming from when I say that faith is dead in the church today? It has departed. It's like 1 Timothy says in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, that in the last days the Spirit expressly says that many will depart from the faith. I used to think it meant they were going to be lost. I don't believe that at all no more. I believe what he's saying, that we have left this great and precious faith that brings miracles into existence, because we don't see them nowhere. Because when you believe this book, like I believe this book, just like it's written, when you speak in the name of Jesus, you get to see mighty, wonderful things happen. And healing is one of those. Praise the King. All right, let's press on here. It says, after you pray, you must do what Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says. Think about this. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. After you pray, in fact, before we go there, I got two more verses I got to cover in Mark 11. In Mark 11, verse 25 and 26, we have to cover those two verses. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, in verse 26, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. If you have unforgiveness toward anybody for anything, what do you think the chances are of getting your prayer answered? Zero. That's exactly right. Zero. In fact, it will bring demons to you. If you have unforgiveness toward anyone, it will bring demons to you, and they will come from God. The Lord Himself will send demons to torment you if you carry a grudge or unforgiveness toward anybody for anything. So you must forgive everyone and walk in love. Your faith worketh by love. So if you don't walk in love, you're not going to get anything from the Lord. Then after that, we go down in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Now after you pray, this is what you must do. After you pray and ask the Lord to do something, then in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, he says, now cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Now there's something we don't do well today. You know what that is? Patience. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So when you're prayed for, you stand on the Word, you believe it's done, you confess it's done, you go through however long it may take. Sometimes it may happen instantly, sometimes it may take a few days, sometimes it may take a few weeks or even a few months. But you never cast away your confidence in the Word. The Word is true. The answers or promises of God are yes and amen every time, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. No matter how many promises God made you, the answer to every one of them is yes every time for His children. Never know. So if you're walking holy before Him, you have all your sins confessed, and you pray in faith, the answer to you for your healing is yes every time. Aren't we glad that that's true? That means, just think about this. What if God were to make a statement? Since He's a faith God, He had to make that statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Because since He's a faith God, if He were to say, well, I'm going to heal 2/3 of my children that come to me, but 1/3 I'm not going to heal. Or what if He were to say, I'm going to heal every one of them but one? Now, who's going to know who that one is? If there was only one person on the earth that He was not going to heal, then since He's a faith God, no one of us, not one single one of us, could ever come to God and ask in faith for healing. Because you might be the one. And if He didn't put your name in there, you wouldn't know. And he said, I'm going to heal every one of you except Thurman. Then we'd all know who that one was. He wasn't going to heal. And so the rest of you could have faith. But if he said, I'm going to heal everybody but one, then you wouldn't know but what that might be you. But if he said, all of my promises are yes and amen to all of my children every time, then we can have faith to know that the answer is yes for you and me. We never have to doubt the Word of God is yes for me. Now, then, did he promise to heal every one of us instantly? No. He promised to heal us. So, if we do get sick because of unbelief or sin or whatever, then we need to repent, and then we need to believe Him. We need to drive out the demon. We need to do what the Lord says, and then we need to go away praising Him and worship Him and thanking Him that we are healed. Now, I wake up every day praising the King that I'm well and praising Him, thanking Him that He healed me on the cross 2,000 years ago. I praise Him for that because it's such a blessing to learn that and to know that my youth is renewed daily like the eagles, that I'm not going to have to get old and wore out. I'm going to be vibrant. I mean, just think. I think about myself out there just this last year. Dave and myself and my nephew, we just built my son an 11,000 square foot building. I mean, we put some sheets of metal that weighed 100 pounds apiece, and I put several of them up there by myself on top of that building, and it's 20 foot tall in the peak. I built a special fixture that goes on one of my high lift trucks, and we'd put sheets of that iron up on there, and I'd pull that truck up on there, and we'd get them and pull them up on there. And of course, sometimes the wind would be blowing, and of course, Dave would be helping me then for sure. And he and I'd pick up a 40-foot long sheet of iron, 3 foot wide, and start across that roof with it. And sometimes the wind would pick it up, and it almost blow me and him both off of that roof. We'd have to throw it down, lay it down to get the wind away from it. And we're way up walking little girders and all that stuff. What can you do? Anything you believe you can do. If you believe when you get 65, you got to sit down and watch some kind of soap operas and eat popcorn and drink iced tea, well, then get ready to die pretty quick because you're not producing any fruit for the kingdom. And God didn't bring you here to sit down and watch soap operas and to eat popcorn and drink soda pop. He brought you here to further His kingdom. That's what He brought you here for, to bring people into the kingdom, to teach people about the Word of God, to strengthen them. That's what He brought us here. That's what all of us should be doing. And then He says, as long as you're producing fruit for my kingdom, I will satisfy you with long life. I don't know about you, but I'm going to live a long time, aren't you? Yes, I'm going to claim the promises of God. And I'm going to live a healthy, long life. Now then, He says here, that's what you do in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Then 1 Timothy 4. I talked about that just a little bit, but I'm going to go there again.
Well, praise the Lord. We got to stop right there for the day. We'll take up right there tomorrow. So if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, just give me a call, 940-242-2106. Or check us out on the web at www.tlsm.org. And praise the Lord Jesus Christ.